Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Bear Tooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
George, where would we be without NBC Montana? Without NBC Montana doing this important fact check, where would we be? This is funny. So they did this headline here, $4,000 for Montana families fact checking the governor's claim. So Governor Greg Gianforte claimed that he delivered $4,000 in tax rebates for Montana families. And so they had to jump on it. They had to fact check this. And George, you know what? That governor was wrong. It was only $3,850. I'm so glad that NBC Montana fact checked that for us.
Yeah, we need people like that. We do. You know, I'm sure they're just like the people on social media that correct your spelling and everything.
The grammar. Well, we're not supposed police. To say grammar Nazis, but grammar police. That's there a better word. Yeah, the grammar police. Yeah, it's like people. It's a tweet. Like, get over yourselves.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. But, you know, I guess we need people like that. And technically, they're right. So congratulations. Pat yourself on the back.
That's a good job. And really, all they did was remind us of the fact that, oh, yeah, that's right. In two legislative sessions in 2 years in particular, Governor Gianforte and the Republican supermajority in the legislature, we got property tax rebates. We got income tax rebates. And so, you know, depending on, you know, how much you pay property taxes, et cetera, yeah, you could have qualified for a combined $3,850 in keeping your money and getting your money back.
Well, how about this, Aaron? How about instead of having $2 billion in surplus or whatever and giving us a few hundred back and patting us on the head, why don't they just cut spending and not take an extra $2 billion from the people of the state and just do it that way? But see, they won't do it that way. So I'm not happy with the Republicans on this. I don't care that they gave us a little bit of a rebate. Cut spending, quit taking our money to begin with, and then giving us a little measly pittance
back.
Well,
they did cut the – not only was this rebates, but they did do permanent tax cuts, reductions as well. So,
well, as soon as my property tax goes down and I can feel that and I'm paying less for everything, then I'll believe that. But until then, I'm not believing it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and that's why what we need to do is overhaul this property tax system altogether. Now, for me there's people that got fancier house than I got. But for me, the property tax rebate more than covered – my property tax hikes that the local folks are dumping on me, or that the property value.
Yeah.
But really, we got to dump this whole property tax system.
Yeah, we do. And that was only once, Aaron. So
twice.
Well, twice.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've lived in my house, I don't know, 20 something years. So, yeah, they got a lot more to make up to me. Plus all these random increases in property tax. And, you know, I fought them 1 year and they actually sent somebody out to look at my house, and they go, oh, you're right, it shouldn't have gone up.
Oh, really?
Well, if I hadn't argued, they'd have never done that. I would have just given them my money.
Now, sometimes you can protest it, and they'll raise it. They'll say, oh, actually, it's worth more. So sometimes you got to be careful. You never know. I know that's what Senator Brad Molnar called in about one time. He said, yeah, sometimes you can fight it and win, and sometimes they'll stick you with an even higher bill.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Steve Bannon is in jail after his contempt of Congress conviction for refusing to comply with a subpoena from the committee investigating the January 6th riot. So he's had some guest hosts on his digital show and podcast, War Room. That includes Republican Texas Representative Chip Roy. Roy is one of a handful of lawmakers who have filled in for Bannon this summer. Bannon is in jail for 4 months. Florida Republican Matt Gaetz guest hosted the show in mid-July. Others up, Republican Colorado Representative Lauren Boebert and GOP Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. This is an extension of lawmakers guest hosting for Rush Limbaugh when his show was on the air. Some of the lawmakers even host the shows from special studios inside the Capitol complex. It's where politicians of both parties go to do local and national media hits and to produce videos for programs back home, but increasingly for specialized programs like Bannon's show. And there are questions about lawmakers using the Capitol facilities for political business. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Democracy 24.
It was the culmination of the last four nights hearing from the Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris here in Chicago.
I accept your nomination to be president of the United States of America.
Tens of thousands waving signs and chanting,
"We are not going back. We are not going back."
The DNC, a star-studded event that began with Democrats essentially saying thank you and bidding goodbye to President Joe Biden. The theme last night, For Our Future, as Harris laid out an agenda of a brighter and more hopeful America.
A chance to chart a new way forward.
And while the overall vibe here has been about joy, there was hope for many that Harris would finally get to policy and exactly how she plans to fix the economy over a month since the presidential ticket handoff. At the DNC in Chicago, Jeff Manasso, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, George, we got to get your take. This was the woke update of the week yesterday with David Noble. And by the way, Evan and Belt messaged us last night. He says, "Hey, I just got in from the field. I had the chance to watch the behind the scenes of Montana Talks put out by David Noble yesterday. You guys do a great job. I would love to drop up and see you sometime. Keep up the great work." That'd be fun. Evan should come in on a Freedom Friday one of these days.
Yeah,
just come join us here in studio. But yeah, David Noble on his Lecture Fan YouTube page. He recorded some video while we were BSing yesterday. So yesterday's woke update of the week was, this was a Fox News story, a senior Biden nuclear energy official is talking about queering. Queering nuclear weapons, making nuclear weapons gay or doing away with nuclear weapon. What in the world? Anyway, got to get your take as a Navy veteran on this one.
Well, so yeah, I was fired up about this the middle of the week. I think it was Wednesday when that came out. You know, it just goes to show you, when they appoint people to these positions, these liberal Democrats, when they appoint people, they don't appoint them because of their qualifications. They appoint them so they can check off boxes. And this person actually believes her name, and I can't pronounce that name. I don't know if you know what that is, her name?
I attempted to pronounce it yesterday, and I had the story in front of me, but after we talked about it, I just recycled it. Whatever her name is. She's nuts.
Yeah, she's appointed special assistant to the National Nuclear Security Administration, and that was back in February 2024. You remember the last nuclear person they had in there, the guy who was bald that thought he was a woman and dressed like a woman?
See, that's the angle I forgot to mention yesterday.
Non-binary, right, and he got arrested for stealing luggage at an airport more than once.
Not
right?
Just any luggage. Women's luggage.
Women's luggage.
Women's underwear.
And then he would wear these dresses and things, right?
So his nickname, John Jackson and the Mighty Human Z, they call him Lipstick Lex Luthor.
There you go.
Because he had a bald head and a creepy mustache, and he'd wear bright red lipstick and women's dresses.
Exactly. So the interesting thing is, this pick that they appointed, she believes in eradicating purported white supremacy in the nuclear field. White supremacy in the nuclear field, as well as queering nuclear weapons as part of a diversity, equity, and inclusion push she believes is essential for deterring threats to nuclear energy facilities in the U.S. This DEI stuff has gone way too far, because now these people believe they're going to keep our country safer if we follow this diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's nuts. They are nuts. This is stupid. And it's right in your face. And it's insane. How can a president appoint this type of people to these important positions? And and feel I'm starting to lose my mind, Aaron. And think that's a good thing.
Well, and then on top of that, these people are given security clearances. I'm assuming top secret security clearances. If you are doing nuclear energy type related work, if you are in a nuclear energy type position, I'm assuming these people have security clearances. We know that Sam Brinton, that was his name.
Right, that's his name.
Sam Brinton, lipstick Lex Luthor. This guy was absolutely nuts. All you had to do was look at the guy and know he was absolutely nuts and absolutely crazy. But see, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, John Tester, they look at lipstick Lex Luthor and they say, oh, great. He checks a few woke checkboxes. Give that man a top secret security clearance. And then he gets arrested after multiple times stealing women's underwear and their luggage from the baggage check, cart at airports across the country. And then they're like, I guess we got to fire that guy. You should have never hired him in the first place. But these are the people that have access to America's top secrets right now.
Exactly. And, you know, she says, finally, queer theory informs the struggle for nuclear justice and disarmament. And she wrote that it helps to shift the perception of nuclear weapons as instruments for security by telling the hidden stories of displacement, illness, and trauma caused by their production and testing. Yeah, this gal's a nut. But anyway, you know, our president, he shouldn't have a security clearance either. He's already demonstrated that he can't take care of top secret documents and different things like that. Plus, he's half out of his mind. But this is what they do, Aaron, and everybody should be concerned about this.
Hey, by the way, speaking of nukes and nuclear missiles, nuclear weapons, et cetera, the Electric, which is a blog in Great Falls, reports this. The U.S. Air Force is holding town hall meetings in Great Falls and Lewistown to provide updates about the Sentinel ground-based strategic deterrent missile program, September 4th, Fergus County Fairgrounds in Lewistown, September 5th at the CMR High School Auditorium. So, yeah, eventually we're replacing all of these nuclear missiles here in Montana with the Sentinel missile system. So they're going to have some town hall meetings. But, I mean, bridges are going to be built, new roads are going to be built, all sorts of infrastructure has to go in to support that new Sentinel missile system. But again... why do we have these wackos with top secret security clearances that are going to know a hell of a lot more about this system than you and I are going to know whether we go to the town hall meetings or not, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it doesn't have to make sense in this country. It doesn't. It doesn't matter.
Make it all make sense. Not until after November, at least. Then we can try to start making things make sense again. All right. Let's see. What do you want to talk about? That's a question for George, but it's also a question for you. 294-6751. That's Billy.
We cover so many topics. We cover so much ground, especially when it comes to the important issues of the day, that I'll get a lot of people that'll say, well, Aaron, what can I do about it? What can we do about it? Especially in a big election year like 2024. I'll tell you what, if that's you, you've got to tune in to Friday's Montana Talks. We're going to have an incredible guest. John Graves is the CEO of Million Voices. He was on with Glenn Beck a while ago, but he's got some Montana connections, so stand by for Friday's Montana Talks.
All the talks we've had over the years, including what you've told me about not using alcohol and other drugs, they stick with me. And believe it or not, they really do make a difference, especially at times that matter most.
Hey, want a drink?
No, thanks, I'm good. So thank you, Dad, for talking and preparing me for what's ahead.
Thank you for talking.
For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
The agriculture sectors in both Canada and the United States will be grappling with significant disruptions following a rail shutdown that occurred in the early morning hours of this Thursday, August 22nd in Canada. The shutdown, stemming from a critical labor dispute between major rail companies and unions, has far-reaching impacts for both the U.S. and Canadian economies. A coalition of agriculture groups sent a letter to both President Joe Biden and Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau on the issue. One of the groups signing on to the letter included the American Farm Bureau Federation. Farm Bureau economist Danny Munch expands on U.S. exports to Canada last year.
Now, we exported $28.2 billion of ag products into Canada, and that made Canada number three. In the same year, we imported $40 billion of Canadian agriculture products into the United States and import quite a bit of inputs such as fertilizer, and that makes them second, just behind Mexico. By value, most of the Canadian agriculture products do move by truck, but when we talk about cereal grains, corn, barley, oats, things like that, a lot of those products move on rail into Canada.
Despite mounting pressure across North America, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's administration has so far refused to step in. As the rail shutdown continues, groups say it highlights the vulnerability of the interconnected U.S. and Canadian economies to such disruptions. I'm Lee Northland.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Heads up if anybody was trying to call into the studio line. But first off, George, wasn't that kind of funny? I was like, hey, give us a call on our studio phone number. I gave out the Billings Last Diet phone number instead of the Montana Talk
Dr.
studio.
Dr. Dale's probably going, way to go, Aaron.
Yeah. Now everybody's calling Billings Last Diet. Yeah, hey, I'd like to say this about Kamala Harris and... yeah, John Tester, and they're like, why do we have all these messages? For some reason, our callers can't hear Travis when he answers the phone line, so our engineer is going to check it out here in a few minutes. But I was able to, since we were in the middle of a break, I was able to answer a call from Marcia. Marcia is from Billings, but I guess she's out in Deadwood, South Dakota. I want to be in Deadwood, South Dakota. That sounds like a fun place to spend the weekend. Anyway, Marcia, are you still there?
I am, Aaron.
Hey, well, thanks for calling in. Yeah, I chatted with you briefly during the break, but tell us the message you wanted to get heard across Montana.
Well, I just wanted everybody to remember that it was John Tester who basically mentored Kamala and got her where she is today.
Yeah.
So I don't know why he's hiding from her now. She's basically his student.
Yeah, yesterday he had this little press conference, and he didn't get any tough questions unless asking him a simple question like, why won't you endorse Kamala Harris or Donald Trump, for that matter, for president? And he's still hiding. He won't endorse her. He is too afraid to tell people who he supports for the presidential race. And you make a great point. He's the guy who brought her to the national stage. He recruited her to run for the U.S. Senate.
That's the word I was looking for.
And what was he thinking? Oh, this lady really did a great job destroying San Francisco. She's soft on crime. She's pro illegal aliens. Yeah, let's elevate her to a prominent national position, huh?
Exactly, and it's foolish. And these people are crazy. I mean, I have a lot of liberal friends, and some of them are starting to see the light. So thank God for that.
Yeah, that's good to hear. All right. Well, Marcia, thanks for calling in. Great to hear from you. Great reminder there from Marcia. Yeah.
Well, you know, that's the thing. John Tester doesn't have the guts to stand up for anything, really, because if he did, now he always stands up for the party and for Joe Biden, even though he says he doesn't, but his voting record proves that he does. But he won't stand up for them now because he has something to lose, right? He won't put anything on the line. He won't risk his job to say or do or stand behind what's right. See, he only cares about himself. That's all he cares about, enriching himself. And that's all this is about. All you got to do is watch one of his campaign ads and you can see lie after lie after lie.
Now, I don't know if that's another caller on the line while we wait to get Travis's mic fixed. So I'll check in with the phone line here during the Fox News update in a couple of minutes to see if make sure it's somebody on the line before we go to it, because it could be, you know, our engineer listening in, monitoring the audio feed or something. But yeah, so John Tester 2 days ago did an event at the Wilma Theater in downtown Missoula. And so here he is with his liberal buddies and his celebrity buddies, Pearl Jam, et cetera, and some YouTuber celebrity guy that I don't even know who this guy is, but he's some YouTube celebrity, whatever. And so he's hanging out with all his liberal buddies, and he tells them – apparently he must not have known that there were reporters in the audience. He tells them, my race is not the most important race. the race for president is the most important race. That's the most important race in the country right now. So, and then later his campaign started backtracking, which probably is what forced him to then have to come out yesterday and say that he's not endorsing Kamala. So,
right.
So what he says in private with his little celebrity liberal buddies is, oh, electing Kamala Harris is the most important thing that's needed in this country this November. But then publicly has to say, whoa, 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 that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. No, 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 no. My race is really important, too. I mean, he is such a fraud.
Yeah, everything he says is distorted in some way or a flat-out lie. And it's so easy to check these things. But, you know, Aaron, they have us so divided in this country, left against right, Republican against Democrat, that there are so many people, they won't listen to the truth even if you prove it to them. They still won't see the truth or listen to it. And that's a sad thing. That's why it's so important that everybody researches this stuff and thinks for yourselves. I saw a quote the other day, Aaron, that said, if everybody agrees, then nobody's thinking.
Oh, that's a great line. Yeah. Yeah, even you and I don't agree on everything. David Noble and I don't agree on everything. John Jackson and I don't agree on everything. But we might agree on most things. We might agree on some of the most important things right now. But no, it's okay to disagree.
Right.
Let's see. Speaking of woke nonsense, Harley Davidson, though, joins the list of companies who are disbanding their diversity, equity, and inclusion stuff. Yeah, Harley was taking a lot of hits, but hats off to Harley for at least saying, okay, we're ending this DEI nonsense.
Well, they had to, but let's talk about that when we come
back. We'll talk about that when we come. Yeah, because I know what you're thinking, which is, why did they start this BS in the first place? But either way,
Today, Trump says he doesn't know if he'll get Kennedy's endorsement. America's listening to Fox News.
All right, I want engineer pay now, George. I'm not good at fixing things. That's why I talk on the radio. So when I do actually figure something out, like fixing a sprinkler head or fixing my garage door, it's like a major celebration. Travis, he's got a new microphone in there, and it's working now, so the callers can hear him. So. But our engineer's on the way, but that's all right. Anyway, very cool. But I was screening a couple of phone calls because, you know, the last thing you want to do is go to the phone lines and it's like dial tone or, hey, where's my free tickets for whatever, you know? And so, anyway, we've got callers on the line. That's Tim and Billings on too there, Travis. I was able to check in with him during the Fox News update. Okay, before we get to these callers, George, Harley Davidson, they do away with this DEI nonsense. You know, we got to pat them on the back. So many of these corporations get forced and pressured and intimidated into setting these things up. You know, there's this whole bunch of things that are happening behind the scenes. But either way, they got rid of it. Good job. More companies are. But frankly, the message needs to get out to just stop setting this type of garbage up in the first place, right?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I don't give them a good job or a pat on the back for this because it wasn't until a movement started gaining a lot of momentum and traction. People that have driven Harleys forever said, you know what, we're going to go drive Indians because these guys are, this woke nonsense is ridiculous. And so they noticed they were getting ready to lose a lot of money, and they backtracked and changed their course, right? Well, it wasn't because it's the right thing to do. They did it because they were going to lose money.
And they probably got pushback from their own dealers.
I'm sure they
just
did.
Just like John Deere. I mean, John Deere corporate headquarters was getting hammered by their own employees, by their independent, you know, distributors and, you know, operators, you know, equipment dealers that you know, have, you know, small town, you know, storefronts here in Montana and elsewhere. And so, so internal fights as well. Tim in Billings wants to talk about Harley Davidson. Tim, what's your thoughts?
Good morning, gentlemen. Happy Freedom Friday. Aaron, bask in the glory for a moment of your reward of finding something technical that you fixed. You know, just bask in it for a minute.
That's right. My work here is done.
That's right. Mic drop. So when it comes to Harley-Davidson, it's not going to go away. They're saying it's going away. They're going to do it quietly. Just like, you know, Harley-Davidson is the latest, but Tractor Supply lost over $2 billion in valuation because they were pulling this junk, and they say they're going to get rid of it. It's all because the people who own these companies, it's not the stockholders. It's BlackRock. Mm-hmm. It's Vanguard. It's Fidelity, because they own 80% of the shares of these companies. And when the head of BlackRock said, you're going to hire an intergalactic toaster that fires fireballs from its arse, they jump. They'll do it because they won't get funding.
Yeah,
they won't get invested.
And that's, you said much better the point that I was trying to make, is that they have, that a lot of these companies are being forced into this, at BlackRock, et cetera. All right, hold that thought. We've got to take a quick break.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Here's my list of things we've all gotten used to over the last 25 years that look to be different in the next quarter century. Low inflation and very low interest rates. Not an easy prediction, but forces like globalization that gave us the great moderation of prices look to be spent. Unlimited federal deficit spending. Politics won't kill ever-growing deficits, but financial markets and interest payments might. Limited growth in electricity demand. There's been close to zero increase in electricity demand since 2000, but electric vehicles, data centers, and heat pumps are changing that. Surplus workers. Labor markets will loosen somewhat in the coming years, but trends in demographics are reducing the size of the traditional working population, just as the bulge in retirees is demanding ever more personal services that require labor. America's military deterrent. Our country's ability to deter others from mischief was never perfect, but looks to be vanishing today. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Hey, this is interesting. Do you guys know the song American Pie by Don McLean? I mean, it's a classic song, right? 1971 classic, American Pie. Well, Don McLean claims that his song American Pie predicted the, quote, woke bull, the woke BS culture. Don McLean claims that American Pie predicted the woke BS culture. That full story and much more, go to MontanaTalks.com. Better yet, get the Montana Talks app on your phone.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, George has a very important story to share with us here on this Freedom Friday. And it's something, especially those of you who are veterans or those of you who care for a veteran, you know, spouse or a loved one, and how some of these fraudsters are trying to rip off veterans by filing claims on your behalf. So we want to get to that story here. But first, let's sneak in Richard in Jordan next up on the phone lines. Richard, thanks for the call.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I want to make two real quick points. The first one, I would like to embarrass you a little bit, if I may.
Please.
If all of these friends from the left that call into your radio show and complain that you never let them talk, they need to listen to Joel Heitkamp's radio program, where if you have a conservative voice, you get 15 to 20 seconds to say your piece, then he kicks you off the phone and goes on a 3 to 5 minute lecture about what you just said. So I appreciate your back and forth, even with our friends from the left.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I give our friends from the left too much time, and then I'll get some of our listeners are like, why do they get so much time? And then I don't get that much time. And it's like, well, you know, like, because maybe it's false equivalency, whereas, like, you know, because we hear a lot of callers from that share our opinion. Well, when you get somebody who has a different opinion, yeah, I truly want to hear why they believe what they believe. It and Ken in Great Falls is just a straight up Marxist. I'm sure you heard his phone call yesterday. It's like he will trash Tim Sheehy, who has a Bronze Star for Valor and a Purple Heart, who served actually in a war zone, who served in combat. But then there was liberal Ken in Great Falls, you know, trying to praise Tim Walz, the governor of Minneapolis, who ditched his men when they went on a deployment, and he ditched them and dodged the deployment. And then he lied about serving in combat. He lied about the rank he retired at and so much more. It's like, wow, you will prop up these phonies. You will prop up these frauds, but then you'll attack the real deal like a Tim Sheehy.
Right. Okay. The main point I wanted to make, and I'm hoping maybe you can shed some light on this because it's been annoying me ever since it happened. Last Sunday morning, I got a news alert on my phone that was talking about an attack at the entrance gate to Lackland Air Force Base by gunmen. And then 2 hours later, I got another hit that said the exact same thing, but it was a second attack that took place as they were trying to investigate the first one. And in there, they had an interview with the sergeant that was in charge at the Lackland Gate that actually participated in it. And he actually said that had he not called for reinforcements to be brought to the front gate from the first attack, they sent an additional 8 men to that gate so that they could go round up brass and do their investigation into who it was, why it happened, and all that. That's when the second vehicle came in and opened fire on them, and he literally said that they would have lost the base had 8 men not been sent to the front gate to reinforce the security guards at the front. Now, here's my problem with this. You're not hearing about this anywhere. I just did another search this morning, and the only information that's out there is 5 days old.
No. Yeah, I was going to say, I'm looking for an update as well, because I remember seeing that, and they're like, well, this was an off-base shooting. They try to make like it was like some random drive-by that they kind of got caught up in. When no, like the guy deliberately shot twice at the guy or guys shot twice at base security. And with all the terrorists that are being allowed in this country and the foreign nationals that have been going to different bases, yeah, it raises a lot of questions.
Well, yeah, Quantico was the first one that we heard about. Those were Jordanians.
Mm-hmm.
And now this happens, and it's just mum. I mean, like I said, I got the first 2 alerts, and then nothing. It's like it's been sucked into a black hole, but they're not talking about it at all, and I want to know why.
Yeah, that's a great question. Richard, thanks for the call. George Blackard, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I guess if they're not standing inside the gate, then it is an off-base shooting. So that's all a matter of semantics, really. But yeah, it's interesting that you're not hearing anything about that. But if the media reports this, then they have to start answering questions and looking at all of the illegals that are coming across our border that our Democrat Party is allowing to come into this country. They, our president and vice president, are allowing these terrorists and people to come across our border, which sets things like this up. They're fine with it happening.
Hey, got a cool Freedom Friday shout out here from Jesse in Shelby. Jesse says, I'd like to say congratulations and great job to Hayden Schilling and his group of young men and women that are graduating from Marine Corps boot camp today in San Diego. He says Hayden is a Shelby, Montana kid. So, Hayden, thanks for serving, and, yeah, congratulations. So
fantastic.
Yeah, the Marines have still been hitting their recruitment goals. That's what's been interesting as you know, our whole military has been struggling with a lot of this stuff. But the Marines have been doing better than the other branches with that esprit de corps, shall we say.
Well, there you go. I don't think they're looking for as many people every year as the other branches are, but I mean, they're a small group.
That's right. And, yeah. Well, and I think they're a little more willing to stand up to some of this woke nonsense, I think too.
Maybe.
I don't know.
It's too prevalent in all the branches of service, that's for sure. But
yeah, that's right. Let's see. Let's go to Clint in Bozeman. Next up on the phone lines. Clint, thanks for the call.
Well, thank you for taking the call. I've got to ask you 2 smart men a question.
Which 2 are you talking about? Are you talking about, George and I, okay, well.
Right, you 2 guys are damn smart, I think.
Well, you're 2 kind.
Well, here's a question for both of you, and I think that the people of Montana might want to hear an answer, maybe what you guys got to say about it, but how long do you think Ukrainians can keep firing missiles into Russia and taking Russian territory before we have a real big war? And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Oh, man, that's a good question. George, your thoughts?
Well, so this is the thing about warfare, right? So you have Russia that's invading that smaller country. That country fights back, and now suddenly they're encroaching into the bigger country's property, territory, and doing a lot of damage. And so they're kind of punishing Russia for attacking them in the first place. But you got to draw a line somewhere, right? Because when are they wrong for doing what they're doing.
And I was going to say, why did Ukraine wait till now? I mean, you're going to come into my house and do this to our people? Why, if I was Ukraine, I would have done that a long time
ago.
Yeah,
if you'd have done that in the very beginning, nobody'd think twice. They would look at it and say, well, they're defending themselves. But now they're like, well, you repelled the Russians, and now you're going into their country, and you're doing this and this. So it starts bringing up questions. And I'm sure they're going to say, well, we need to do that to get them to stop completely and to end this thing, right? And that's probably what they're going to say. But, you know, it's just like when President Bush, the first one, during the Gulf War, right, we had Saddam and his troops on the run. You remember the Highway of Death. And as they're leaving Kuwait, stealing all their cars and art and all the things that they looted out of that country, but we stopped and we didn't go into Iraq, and it's Iran, but Iraq, I made sure to get the right country. And we stopped, right? And everybody said, well, why didn't you finish the job? And why didn't you go in there and do this? Well, it's kind of the same thing, right? We kicked them out of the country they invaded. So did we really have a right to go into their country?
What's our objective?
Take out their leader.
And as, you know, some of the missteps in, you know, Iraq and, you know, Operation Iraqi Freedom showed, okay, now what? Okay, so you take them out. Well, now what? And if you don't have the now what plan, then yeah, okay, you accomplished your objective. Now, you know. But I do appreciate Clint's question, though, because I think people are very concerned that because we are micromanaging this war in Ukraine, that now if they start doing more incursions into Russia, that we then get pulled into a wider conflict. Because we're seeing that across the board, that we are at the brink of World War III because of this failed foreign policy, because of this failed administration. And so I appreciate where Clint is coming from on that point. But that's, to me, that's all the more reason why we need somebody like Donald Trump to come back in, get us back on a path towards peace overall, because we're literally on the brink of World War III, and they don't want to just draft your sons. Now they want to draft your daughters, too.
Your daughters, too. That's right. So the thing is, there was stability in the Middle East back in the day when you had Saddam Hussein and Muammar Gaddafi and all of these leaders, right? They were tyrants, and they're terrible people. They were killing their own people. But the world was safer and it was more stable because they kept each other in check and they didn't let these factions grow that, you know, become Al-Qaeda and all that stuff. So, you know, it's a trick, but we need Donald Trump back because he's strong and people are afraid of him.
Yeah, and he's just crazy enough that they know he'll do it if he has to. A great point that Jim Jordan made.
Say yes to summer and get cash back on many of your favorite brands with PayPal. Say yes to those pink flamingo floaties you've been eyeing online. Get them and make a splash with that cash back. Say yes to the third barbecue in a row this week. Grill up those burgers and earn that extra cheese. Say yes to that last minute road trip. You deserve it. Pay at the pump and fuel up your wallet with PayPal. Say yes to summertime fun and all the cash back that PayPal has to offer. Download the PayPal app. Redeem points for cash and other options. Terms apply.
Fox News commentary.
Tens of thousands of unaccompanied minors who came across the border illegally are unaccounted for. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
Interesting people are talking to Will King.
I said, what do I call you? I call you Dwayne. I call you The Rock. He said, now that I own it, I can call you The Rock.
Yes, I own it now. You can call me The Rock.
Our next guest needs no introduction. It is Dr. Jordan Peterson, my old friend and frenemy, Stephen A. Smith.
What is going on here? I see the Will King show in the background. I see the microphone.
Watch it live at noon Eastern, Monday through Thursday on FoxNews.com. And get the podcast 5 days a week at FoxNewsPodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
According to the DHS Inspector General, many of the 448,000 unaccompanied minors released into Health and Human Services and Homeland Security custody from 2019 to 2023 are reportedly unaccounted for, meaning they are roaming our country somewhere with someone and the federal government doesn't really know where or with whom. The report also notes ICE has no assurances these unaccompanied minors are safe from trafficking, exploitation, or forced labor. Important to note, these unaccompanied minor illegal aliens are unaccounted for because 32,000 failed to show up for their scheduled immigration court hearings, and 291,000 more were not given their hearings yet. It might not be their fault, though, because at least a percentage of them are probably stuck in trafficking rings outside of their control. And this is exactly what happens when you open up the border and you turn the other cheek. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless at Outkick.com.
To donate, paid for by Sheehy Victory Committee.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spa Studio, the hot tub company your friends recommend.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, got another caller that I want to get to here, George, but, you know, I always do this. You got the one thing you want to talk about. We never get to it. So let's get to it because this is important. A fraud alert. Veterans out there, people who help care for veterans, watch out for these fraudsters.
Yeah, that's right. So this is from military.com, and the VA has set up a website and a call center that is to protect vets from fraud as more companies profit from benefit claims. So this is not new. This has been going on for decades. And it's interesting that the VA and the government are patting themselves on the back for setting up this website and this phone number, and because it's been going on forever. But what it is there are companies out there who will charge veterans to file their claims for them. Now, it's illegal to charge veterans to file their claims. You can get this done for free at any American Legion approved service officer, at the vet center, at different places, you know, Montana Department of Veterans Affairs. And so you shouldn't pay to get this done. Well, this is a story of a Navy veteran who, he was 80% service-connected disabled. He went in to get a bump on that. He found this company through a targeted advertisement. So like on Facebook, when you see this advertisement, or maybe when you do a Google search or a web search, and it's one of the top ones that come up that say sponsored. Okay, that's what it was. So he contacts them. This company files his claim for him. He gets it in 2 months, which is pretty outstanding. But then he gets a bill for $9,000. So they charged him three times what he received for filing this claim. So,
man, he could have gone through, you know, he could have gone to the VA. Affairs, the VA, wherever, a vet center, somebody. You right. could have helped him file his claim.
Yes.
He would have gotten the $3,000 the VA owed him. But because he went through these fraudsters, they not only took the $3,000 that the VA owed him, but they charged him $6,000.
Right. Yeah, essentially that's what they did. And so $9,000 total. Well, so, you know, way to go, VA, for setting up this and addressing it after decades and decades of fraud. And they act like, well, it's only since the PACT Act came out that this is a problem. No, it's not. It's been a problem forever. Do not let anybody charge you for filing your VA claim. Don't do it. If they tell you they want to charge you, get up, walk out, and go see somebody else.
I've got to feel like there was already a law against this, and whoever did that to that veteran should be put behind bars.
They should be, yes.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Nancy in Roundup. Nancy, what did you watch or listen to Kamala's speech last night? What did you think?
Off and on, and I heard some sound bites this morning, and I just want to say God's protection and blessings to our men and women in uniform, wherever they may be. It was the same repetitious speech that she has given before. I was not impressed. I'm not impressed with Kamala Harris at all. She lied all through it. She mentioned the fact that she wanted to support Israel in the future. We know a couple of weeks ago she wouldn't even meet with Prime Minister Netanyahu when he was here visiting the United States. She mentioned President Trump's name 15 times. And then she blames him for trying to turn the 2020 election around, but she failed to remind everyone that 14 million Democrats' votes were disenfranchised who voted for Biden, who was forced out by Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer to rush her in his place.
Good point.
And I just want to say
that she was installed,
Yeah, well, this woman, I didn't mention the 28% wealth tax, which is purely Marxist, and it's actually an ownership tax.
It's crazy. Her tax plan. We need to talk more about that in the 8 o'clock hour. Yeah, Nancy, thanks for the call. George, I don't know how many times she said Trump's name, but their convention was all about Trump, wasn't it?
That's all it is, because they don't have anything to offer. So they have to just talk crap about their opponent, because they don't have anything to offer. You know, beware, because she's coming out saying, well, food prices are going to go down under me. No, they're not. They went up under you, and there's nothing that you can do that will bring that down.
They're acting like these last 3 years just never happened, aren't they?
We cover so many topics. We cover so much ground, especially when it comes to the important issues of the day, that I'll get a lot of people that'll say, well, Aaron, what can I do about it? What can we do about it? Especially in a big election year like 2024. I'll tell you what, if that's you, you've got to tune in to Friday's Montana Talks. We're going to have an incredible guest. John Graves is the CEO of Million Voices. He was on with Glenn Beck a while ago, but he's got some Montana connections. So stand by for Friday's Montana Talks.